Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply. See ebaymotors.com.
This podcast is powered by the pros at Pascal Air Plumbing and Electric. Arkansas owned. Arkansas operator. GoPascal.com.
This is the Ruskin and Sack Podcast, brought to you by United Roofing and Waterproofing.
We are lucky enough to have a 10-year NFL vet.
10 years?
10 years.
10 years NFL vet, Super Bowl champion, former Razorback. Brett Good is going to sit in here, risk his life and career to hang out with us for 4 hours. Man, it's great to have you. I'm really thankful that you're here, and we've got a whole bunch of things we're going to discuss today.
Yeah, sounds good. I'm excited to be here.
Brett's hit the bottle early, so he should be good and liquored up by the time we get going. DQ is here. Hello, DQ.
Hi.
We've got a lot to get into. We've got an Arkansas basketball game tonight, which is, you know, I don't know that there's a bigger must-win for either side. Missouri 0-7 in the conference. Arkansas 1-6. We'll talk about that. We've got some NFL news that we absolutely have to get into because the GOAT can't get a job, which is absolutely mind-boggling to me. But I would be remiss if I didn't start today. We had a little show history. Happened last night, and I found out about it today, and I think it deserves a little bit of recognition. Brett, when we got DQ several years ago, she would not make eye contact with humans. DQ, would it be fair to say that you had a fear of public speaking?
Sure.
Yeah, DQ was not much. She was not a talker. This whole thing freaked her out. She would just sit there, and she had this kind of Axl Rose sway to her. When she would sit, she would talk to you. She'd look at the floor. She wouldn't make eye contact. But I feel like over time, DQ's come out of her shell, and she's blossoming a little bit. But DQ did something last night that I think deserves recognition. DQ went to a movie by herself.
Nice.
Well, that just makes me sound really lonely.
Oh, that's awesome.
Now, 4 years ago, that would have been an impossibility. There's no chance you would have gone to a movie by yourself.
Yeah, probably not.
So what movie did you go see?
The Hunger Games.
And why did you go alone?
I wanted to go see it again.
This is what I'm talking about. This is growth.
Yes, I love it. Everybody used to make fun of me for going to the movies by myself.
Everyone I know has already seen it in theaters with me.
Right? So. Yeah. But now, she did have... Now, how many people were in the theater?
None.
You were the only person in the theater.
I was the only one.
What time was the movie?
Like 10.
Oh, you went to the late
show? I went
to
the late one. I don't know why.
Oh.
It was I bought the like 1 year membership to the AMC premiere. So it's not like the top tier one where I get 3 movies a week, but I don't have to pay any of the fees online or anything. So the ticket was like $6. So I decided if I decided not to go, it's not a huge loss on me.
I'm proud of you.
Cancellation fees.
Absolutely. Thank you. Now, you said you go to movies by yourself?
I do, but I don't anymore that I have kids. But this is the first I'm learning of a membership.
Yeah.
It's wild. Nice. Right?
Well, so there's two types. One where it's like $15 a year and you don't have to pay any fees or anything. But then there's one that's $15 a month and you get 3 movies a week.
Really? Nice.
I don't know who has that kind of time, though.
Well, if you're going at 10 o'clock, everybody.
Yeah, I guess you can go at 10 p.m., you can see all the movies you want to see.
I guess.
You can call or text the show, 866-285-4005. If you go to movies by yourself, we want to hear about it. DQ, next, dining alone.
No, I've done that before. It was terrible.
Really? When did you dine alone?
I ate breakfast alone. I was so excited because this place that I've never had a good experience in, I ate breakfast there because they have really good coffee. Mm. And it took someone 20 minutes to come and say, hey, have you been helped yet? Okay. At one point, someone came up to me and asked me to stand up so they could lower the blinds. And then I thought they were going to take my order. And then they just walked away.
Okay, hang on. That's not the dining alone experience that got sideways. That's the place you went to.
Yeah.
Well, it ruined me.
Okay.
This is where you go to a movie and a dinner at the same place.
Yeah.
So you can knock them both out.
No.
No, that's a
dining,
lot.
I won't be dining alone ever again.
The conspiracy theories are starting to roll in. Ricky in Boonville is texting on the McLarty Daniel hotline. DQ, you are so idle rich, you bought out the movie theater?
The movie has been out for months. I saw the new Hunger Games
What would have happened if another person had
would have left.
Why?
If there would have been like a man come in and sit in the theater and he was also by himself, I would have left.
Why?
Because he would have murdered me.
Okay, all right.
I wouldn't have made it out of that movie theater.
Are there plans for future endeavors into movie going by yourself?
It was fine. Yeah, it was fun.
Okay.
Did you tell anybody you're going by yourself?
Yes.
Good. Who?
I told a couple people.
Okay. DQ has this. So you have a witch tracking device?
Find my.
Fine. She tracks about 35 people.
I thought you said witch. Like, yeah. She's tracking witches.
She tracks all of her friends. And did they all know that you were at the movie theater by yourself? Did you get any text messages?
I only know a couple people. Oh, and that was the good thing about being alone in the theater is if I wanted to text someone, I could pull out my phone.
You could have videotaped the movie and nobody would have bought it.
I could have.
You have to turn yourself in, though.
Yeah. You went to movies by yourself?
I used to go to movies. I still go eat by myself. I don't know, just walk up to the bar or whatever.
There's nothing wrong with that.
Yeah.
Absolutely. That's a self-confidence thing.
No.
No.
It's great when you can also, the thing when you go up there is you can always have split personalities too, though.
Yeah.
You can have somebody else. A whole other lifestyle.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
It's a lot of fun.
I want, because I have all of those college shirts, I want someone to say like, hey, did you go to Missouri or my Tulane one? That would be the most impressive one. Oh, did you go to Tulane? Yeah, I did.
You could be a totally different person.
I did.
Yep. Dennis in Springdale wants to know if you were embarrassed by the person you went with.
I didn't go with anyone. Okay. I'm not kidding. Everyone who I would have invited to that movie has already gone to see that movie with me. Because I've seen it twice already. That was the third time.
Yeah, The Hunger Games. I don't get it.
It's so good.
BE wants to know, would you go to a zoo by yourself?
I don't.
A museum?
Yes, a museum. A zoo? Right. No.
Park?
No.
Yeah, that's.
I would have no use for a park.
Seems a little dicey. I mean, if you don't.
I don't need to go to the park alone.
Seems a little weird. You can call or text 866-285-4005. Brett Good is here. He has a Super Bowl championship ring. We're going to ask him about Super Bowl week. And I want to know, don't answer me now, but I want to know when the requests for tickets start coming. Is it when it hits 000 or are you starting to get them as the clock's winding down? We'll talk about that. Plus, we're going to talk about this basketball game tonight because there is a ton of things surrounding this team right now and how they're going to compartmentalize this. I have absolutely no idea. This seems like them against the world. And if they come out with a win tonight, this is going to be a good deal.
It'll be interesting.
You know, it'll be a wild night. That game's 7:30. The tip off on that 7 o'clock. We've got the courtside show. Matt Jones and I will have the post game show afterwards. So you can call or text. We're going to talk about that. We've got a whole bunch of other things that we're going to get into. There is a very, very interesting case that was brought today by the state of Tennessee and the state of Virginia regarding NIL and how this is going. And it has a local tie, which Tom Mars, the Rogers attorney, is involved in this case. And it is, I'm not going to pretend that I know anything about law, but it is interesting. I did read through this, and I'm the only person in this company who's ever read a Supreme Court decision. I did that a couple weeks ago. I read I know what the Sherman Act is, and that's what this is all based on. And we'll talk about that, but it's got some nuance to it. I think the sport is going to change. I think college athletics are going to change. You're a college athlete. We're going to kind of get your mindset as a college athlete. Was it all fun and games, or was it really as hard as some of these players say it was? We'll talk about that. Plus, DQ, you've got your thoughts today, correct?
I do.
I'm excited about that. And by the way, went 2 for 3 on my picks last night. Got three more picks tonight. I am 14 for my last 16 on my college basketball picks.
Sweet.
I know. I don't know where this is coming from. I don't know where this clairvoyance has suddenly arrived.
Yeah. Well, it's because you're doing
all this. The luck will run out soon.
Doing all this reading you're doing.
Well,
extensive research.
Yeah, that's the extensive research I've been doing. No, I'm on a roll. Like, Sterling calls me for picks now.
Awesome.
Which is absolutely one of the most frightening things I think Sterling could ever do.
I'm going to have to start paying more attention.
Yeah, I would pay attention. You know, yeah. We'll do that in just a little bit. We've got Ethan and Atkins as a text in. So if I'm understanding correctly, DQ went to a movie with her favorite person.
No.
Yes, you did. You.
My favorite person is not myself.
Who's your favorite person?
My sister, obviously. My mom.
What am I gonna do with you?
Do you need a reliable roofing company that you can call at a moment's notice? United Roofing and Waterproofing is the answer to your issue. Joey Vivano and his team service commercial, residential, and industrial roofs. Consultations are always free, and you can schedule them online at unitedrw.com. Call Joey at 479-312-7369. That's 312-7369. You can also check out United Roofing and Waterproofing on Facebook and Instagram. BetOnline is your number one source for all of your betting needs. Get the latest odds, lines, and matchup reports for baseball, boxing, golf, and more. BetOnline continues to be the fastest and easiest way to place your wagers, including live betting and your favorite casino and card games available to play right on your phone. Head to the website or use your mobile device to sign in today and get in on the action. Remember to use the promo code BLEAV, that's B-L-E-A-V, for your 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit. BetOnline, where the game starts.
Is the children's song Ring Around the Rosie your favorite song about the plague? 80% of you said yes. If you were to Google all of the things that hurt on your body right now, how long would you have to live? 3 months, 6 months, 1 year, or you died 8 months ago? 61.4% of you said you died 8 months ago. Is there anything more empowering from a parent than vacuuming up a Lego that you told your child to pick up five times? 64.8% of you said no. And do you people who are still sticking to your New Year's diets know you can buy Spanx with your Kohl's cash? 73.3% of you said no. Those are your Ruskin and Zach X polls brought to you by our very good friends at Unlimited Heat and Air in Springdale, 479-225-8809. So we're going to get into this NIL thing here in just a little bit. And you told me something that I'd like to tease for a second about agents and player contracts and the numbers that come out. It feels like when we see some of the numbers that are coming out in the NIL, and we're going to talk about the Sherman Act here in just a little bit, and, you know, monopolies and all that kind of stuff, because it's kind of boring. But when I see Brett Good signed 5 years, $75 million, you're telling me that number is more for the agents and the press than it is the actual money.
The agents are releasing it. They're releasing it out. And why wouldn't you? If you're an agent and you're a good agent, you want to get more players, and, you know, it puts it out there that, hey, I got this guy paid.
Is there the potential that this is what we're seeing in the NIL? Because some of the numbers we're seeing are huge. And I don't know that this is all sustainable run by a university.
I think it's agent and the player. I think they're trying to play the game. So, I mean, and why wouldn't you?
Yeah, I'm, you know, we see, you know, quarterback, who was it? There was a coach that said, you know, quarterbacks are going for Matt Rhule, you know, to $1.5 to $2 million. Yeah. Now all of a sudden,
for a decent quarterback,
for every quarterback that's being signed, suddenly that magic number pops up. Now it's $1.5 to $2 million per year for a top quarterback.
I think there's a lot more that's going on in that, and I think that's a lot of reasons why Nick Saban got out too.
Yeah, his departure, I think, has a lot to do. I mean, I think you see, you know, as soon as he announces his retirement, all his players
gone.
Transfer. Caleb Downs, I had one of the great quotes about Nick Saban when, you know, this is a young man that was a all-league guy now heading to Ohio State, and he said, you know, the one thing that Nick Saban taught him was commitment, and then he up and hops out and takes off for Ohio State. So I mean, this is pure business now.
It's all business.
I don't think it's sustainable. NFL franchises couldn't pay everybody on the roster $3 to $4 million a year. You can't do it.
No,
it's not sustainable. And now we're talking about paying, you know, 85 guys instead of 53.
And not all 85 get paid.
Right.
That's the problem.
And that's to me, this is just absolutely staggering. But we're going to talk about this lawsuit that the states of Virginia and Tennessee have kicked up. But we do need to talk about basketball, because, you know, the suits get mad when we don't talk about basketball once an hour. Tonight, 7:30 tip. SEC Network with the TV. Hear it right here on ESPN Arkansas. DQ's a huge Mizzou fan. She absolutely loves Missouri. She was wearing a Missouri sweatshirt just the other day. Best DQ when she walked in today. I was telling her, I'm like, hey, you know, we got post game tonight. We're gonna talk about basketball. What's the first thing out of your mouth?
Oh, they played today.
DQ, I forgot. Completely locked into the basketball program. But that's what's happening.
They're losing.
Yeah. I mean, when you're 10-10 and 1-6 in the league. I mean, things are waning a little bit. Nobody's got that drive to go watch them, go see them, pay for them.
And what are the two most things that happen when losing comes out? You know, everybody talks about your coach getting fired, and there's some kind of trouble within the team.
Yeah, what? I don't want to give it any validity, but Daniel Musselman took to Twitter, and I side with Daniel on this, and you can call me whatever you want. I don't care. Danielle's right on this. And I know what she was getting at. DQ and I were talking about this earlier. Danielle had put out a tweet that somebody had approached her daughter about quote-unquote rumors that were going around. I'm assuming it has to do with Musselman leaving. Now, somebody started that rumor, and I don't know why. It's the end of January, and I'm not sure why that's even a discussion point at this point. I frankly don't understand it. Makes absolutely no sense to me that you are sitting here at the end of January when we know Mus has a history of taking off in February, and we're talking about this sort of nonsense. You've had an agent. You know guys with agents. If that sort of information leaks out in January, the way I feel about it is, A, the information's too specific, which makes my antenna go up, and then, two, it's too early. It's too early for this stuff. If my agent leaked that information in January, he would be fired the next day.
And that's the thing, is it's too early. You think of the success that Mus has had here, and you're talking about one season. We've been very it's funny how we forget how bad we were before he got here. You know, that conversation shouldn't come up with anybody who's an Arkansas fan. I mean, I don't care if they lose the rest of the games for that type of reason. Mm-hmm. Obviously, I want them to win. But that's something that it's professionalism. Like, I still don't understand why people always want to drag you down on something like that and take it to a kid. They're not adults.
Yeah, and it makes no sense. And I couldn't imagine, you know, knowing that that their daughter goes to a public school, I couldn't imagine what her life is like. You know, when things are good, mm-hmm. it's probably really, really good. When things are like this, it's probably really, really difficult. And it's not fair. I mean, she's an eighth grade. Leave her alone. I mean, this is not her. It's not her fight.
Right.
It's absolutely stupid, you know, to approach a child with something like that. And look, I have one millionth of the cachet that Eric Musselman does. My daughter gets asked periodically about things, and it's like, stop.
Right.
You know, she has nothing to do with any of this. Same thing with, like, DQ.
Well, I feel like when she gets older, it's only going to get worse.
Right.
Because, like, eighth grade boys watch basketball.
Sure they do.
So I'm sure that's, like, I'm just speculating.
They know who she is.
But I'm assuming that's who asked, like, an eighth grade boy saying, is your dad leaving?
Yeah, and it's just, it's not fair to her. And especially if she didn't know anything about it. Like, you know, I'm sure she's somewhat self-aware and social media aware, but it's absolutely ridiculous that it's put on that kid. And it's sad that Danielle has to come out on Twitter and have to defend her kid.
It is. And you look at, like, what Coach Pittman went through this year, talking about, you know, social media. Social media is terrible for all these. Like, they shouldn't read any of it.
All right.
You know, if you're going to read the good, you got to read the bad. You should just get off of it, because there's so many people. Like, death threats are real.
Yeah.
On social media.
Yeah.
And somebody's just hiding behind. And it's like, why are we doing this? And to try and do it for somebody over a sport is really hard.
Or something you say. Yeah. Look, we got him.
Yeah.
And I looked at it and I was like, you got to be kidding me. And that's, I mean, that is that, but that's where we are with all of this. So I find some of it, you take a shred of truth or a shred of a story you heard. Look, first rule of journalism is, if you don't have a firsthand account, you have nothing.
Right.
You have absolutely nothing. What you have is rumor and hearsay. But you can throw it on social media. There's no consequences. You can just, it's just out there.
It's out there.
And it's irresponsible. It's stupid. And you're a moron if you do it. That's the journalist in me talking.
It is, but now they're asking, they're wanting clicks. I want to be the first person.
Right.
I don't
care
if my story is incorrect or not, because you know, they're not going to sue you for an incorrect story. Oh, I got it wrong. Come out and say something else. You know, they're just trying to get clicks.
No, you want to be. You know, I have a friend of mine that does this as kind of as a side hobby, and we talk about this all the time. You'd rather be right than first.
Right.
And that's the old school journalism. That's the way we were taught in J school was. And you better have three sources, and three of them better be firsthand accounts. Otherwise, you have nothing. You know, you're looking for three confirmations. If I go to Brett Good and I say, okay, is there trouble in the Packers locker room? Well, Brett's in the locker room. That's a source.
Right.
And if he says no, that's the end of the story.
I know. And that's what, you know, Mike McCarthy used to do a big deal. He goes, I don't care what you say, just put your name on it.
Right.
Like, you don't be an anonymous source. Like, we have too many people that, you know, are talking behind social media. Well, put your name out there. Like, just don't be an anonymous source. Be, you know, put your name out there.
Right.
We'll actually know what's going on,
but
if it's truth.
But in the social media world, you hide behind an avatar, and you know, you're tougher than you think you are. And it's sad, because it affects people. One way or another, it affects people on the backside. And look, for guys like Eric Musselman, some of that comes with the territory.
Right.
You understand that when you get into it. Mm-hmm. There's some things that cross the line. I don't care what it is. And the mistake, and I know you will understand this, the mistake that the thing that I hear the most that drives me absolutely up a wall is, will you make $6 million? I don't care how much money you make. I don't care if you make minimum wage, you make $16 million. still people's families, still people's feelings, still people's kids on the other side of that.
Yeah, he's still human, and if there would be somebody else in here making that $6 million too. Yeah. If you want to have a good program, and it's the same thing for players now that they're getting paid. Like, you got to answer more questions. That comes with a territory. Sure. That's why you're getting paid this, and that's the responsibility that a head coach comes on. You know, there's talks of all head coaches across all sports. Why aren't they getting hired here or other places? Mm-hmm. It's because they can't communicate to the media in a proper way. You have to be able to hold yourself accountable and be able to talk, you know, the way that you need to represent yourself and that team.
Yeah, and you know, as a player, if you've got a social media presence, screw up. I mean, you can't you have to own it. You can't shrink from it. You can't hide from it. If you do something wrong, if you do something right, you can say whatever you want.
Yeah.
But when things go sideways, you can't hide.
Right.
And you know, I think about the kicker from Buffalo.
Bass.
Yeah, Bass. Guy missed a field goal.
Yeah.
It happens in every football game that's ever been played.
Turned it off.
I mean, he's getting threats on Sunday and Monday, and he has to delete his Instagram. What is that?
And the problem is, you have small towns and small communities. People know where people live.
Yeah.
And that's the other scary thing, and it's a real deal, is, you know, when you have a wife and kids too, you're like, oh man, you know, you got to really be careful what's going on out there.
Yeah. I mean, social media used to be fun, but now you have to, I mean, DQ, you know this. I mean, we know this. We talk about this. I mean, you have to think before you hit send. What's the worst thing that can happen?
Right. It's out there. Once it's there forever.
And somebody will screenshot it. It will live forever. I retweeted Danielle's tweet. I had people coming at me about talking to their daughter. Like, I have a daughter, and it pisses me off. And I was shaking. I was so mad at some of these people. But it's gotten to a point where it's like, my God, what is wrong with you people? Right. I'm not talking about, you know, you sitting in your car listening to this, but there are people on the internet that are just there to do that. That's their sole goal in life. I'm sorry your life's that miserable, that this is what you do for fun, but dang, dude.
It's tough. I wouldn't want that job.
No, I've got a very healthy respect for coaches at all levels that wind up doing this, who take that beating on social media from quote unquote anonymous people.
Think about the one out of all the sports though that gets the most of this is referees.
Oh,
I mean, can you imagine, like, really, in all these big games and everything goes on? Think about that play last weekend where Baltimore fumbles the ball. They go over to talk it over and they get the call right. Mm-hmm. You know, it's turnover, so it automatically gets reviewed. But that thing was within inches, and they got the call right, but nobody talks about it.
No.
There's no praise or anything like that.
Fort Smith's Walt Coleman.
Yes.
He was the referee for the tuck rule game.
Yes.
Most of us are so ignorant, we don't know what the tuck rule is. We didn't know it existed until that point. Well, if social media had existed in 2002 when the tuck rule happens, I mean, if he had a Facebook account, people would have found it. I mean, they would have just flamed it, and it would have been absolutely out of control. Thank God they didn't.
Oh, I know. And it's not fair to him. I mean, these guys, when you're watching it, like I say, I love watching games on TV because you get to see everything. You get to see that replay so much quicker and clearer than you do at an actual facility. But these guys don't have replay. These guys, it's happening in the moment. And these are all, even at the high school, college level, they're world-class athletes.
Yeah.
Like, these guys, they're doing things like, I mean, Patrick Mahomes bending over backwards and not taking the sack last week. Like, I'd like to see somebody else try to do that.
Yeah, nobody else is doing that kind of stuff. I saw that this morning, and obviously there's been some drama going on around the basketball team all week. And I don't know how those kids – I mean, I call them kids, you know, because I'm twice their age.
But they are, too.
They are. At their core, they're still kids. Yeah. They're still young. You know, we had Joseph Pinion in here yesterday, and Joseph is, what, 19? And, man, I mean, we all know what he looks like. We all know who he is. That poor kid, everywhere he goes, people are pointing. You know, people are sitting there going, okay, we know who he is. I couldn't imagine a life like that.
It'd be tough.
Yeah, I mean, there's a certain level of anonymity. Like, you know, when you're in Green Bay as a member of the Packers, you probably can't go anywhere without anybody going, hey, that's pretty good.
Can't go to the grocery store, can't go to the bar, can't go anywhere.
Without them wanting to talk about the game, win or lose, that happened Sunday
before.
And
Fayetteville is a big little city. I mean, there's not a lot of places for these guys to go. And then, let's be honest, basketball players are freakishly tall. So they stand out.
Yeah, I just saw that thing today, and I know what Danielle's going through. I mean, I know it on a very, very, on a much smaller level, but to have somebody come up to your daughter and ask questions about you is just absurd to me.
Not right.
Yeah, it's absolutely absurd, but that's just, you know, okay, rant over. DQ, did I say anything that's going to get me fired?
No.
Okay, that's awesome. All right, well.
Hey, congrats.
Yeah, woo! Yeah, I survived. when we come back, I have something here that I want to talk about. Oh, I read a scouting report on Caleb Williams, the quarterback from USC. Now, full disclosure, I hate USC. So anything that USC does is bad. Absolutely detest the school. And I hate Caleb Williams for it. Not personally, yeah. but, you know, as yeah. a Trojan, I hate him. But I want to ask you about welcoming in a top pick into that locker room when you have a guy who has a little bit of a history, and maybe it's not all good.
Yeah, it's the hard part about that is these guys are, you know, we talk about being kids. Mm-hmm. You just said that. These guys are coming in, they're still kids compared to a professional locker right. room. I mean, you're coming in now, you've got people with families, responsibilities, bills to pay, and it becomes a real deal that
real
you know,
fast.
Yeah, and it's not being mean. There's guys, you help them out. You know, that backup quarterback, you know, you can see that Aaron helped out, you know, Jordan Love and everything. And then you see Brett Favre and him didn't, and there's always those stories. But at the end of the day, like, it's about getting on the field and earning your respect, and those guys got to earn it.
Picture this, a cold winter's night and suddenly no heat. That's exactly what happened to us. But when we called Pascal Air Plumbing and Electric, they were right there. Their pros didn't just fix our heating. They brought back our home's warmth and comfort in no time. Even when our water heater started leaking, Pascal was the first name we thought of. Quick, professional, and so understanding. With Pascal's flexible payment options, we didn't have to worry about a big expense all at once. Now our home is comfortable, and so is our budget. Schedule now at gopascal.com.
The Arlington Resort Hotel and Spa in downtown Hot Springs, Arkansas is the perfect destination for your next getaway. Join them for a romantic Valentine's Day getaway with a special dinner or romance package. Or if you're coming to town for live racing, they've got room for you every weekend, including Martin Luther King Day weekend and President's Day weekend. Experience all the luxury and hospitality of a Grand Southern Hotel. The accommodations are sure to please everyone. Visit arlingtonhotel.com for more details. That's arlingtonhotel.com.
Now, that's never going to happen in the National Football League. They have rules against that sort of thing. So that was never going to happen. But it certainly painted him in a more negative light than he had previously had. Plus, he had a bad year. I mean, USC had a bad year. They went 7-5. Things didn't go particularly well. But a guy like Caleb Williams comes with, he's got a Heisman Trophy. He's got a little bit of an edge to him. He likes to paint his fingernails with the, you know, F whoever they're playing that week. That sort of stuff doesn't fly in the league. When BJ came in. Now, BJ, I'm guessing, didn't come in with all of that, but I'm sure that you've had some rookies that have walked in, thought they were a little bit bigger deal than they were, mm-hmm. and you learn quick in the league that this sort of thing isn't going
to
fly.
Yeah, we actually had one guy that comes to mind. I think he was like 22nd or 23rd pick in the first round. And he'd always say, you know, my bank account's straight, homie. And like a year later, he's gone. Like he,
wow.
Yeah, because it was all about the money. Mm-hmm. But, you know, BJ was such a great guy. He came in humble. Like, those guys that come in humble, you can work with them. You know, him and Clay and all those guys that came in, which I know you didn't want to mention Clay.
Clay Matthews,
you
know, went to USC. He sucks.
But
probably a nice guy.
These guys come in and you treat all the rookies the same. They're going to get up and sing. They're going to carry your pads. They're going to get meals for you. They're going to grab waters for you. And you got to humble them because, you know, it's like I said before the break, you've got grown men in here. These guys have been doing this for a long time, and it's now you're talking about livelihood. We're talking, like, you know, real money, real benefits. And there's only one chance, you know.
I'm always fascinated to hear stories, like, because 99.5% of the population will never know what it's like to work in the league. And, you know, I was telling you during the break, there's a guy named Mike Rosenthal. He was a lineman at Notre Dame, went on to play for the Giants, and he's a radio talk show host in Columbus, Ohio now. And he was saying that his first week in the league, he came in, he was 6'9", he's 310 pounds, he's bigger than some of the guys that, you know, that he's going to be playing with. And he's like, you know, we go out for the first day of drills. I'm at right guard. The guy next to me's got three kids. He's been in the league 12 years. The guy, you know, to his left has been in the league 7 years. He's got two kids. He goes, I have nothing in common with these kids, you know, with the guys that I'm playing with. At the end of the day, it's all about football.
It is.
And then you have to occupy the rest of your time, which is when it gets dangerous for guys like, you know, Johnny Manziel.
Yeah, no, absolutely. And you could tell. So the locker room is split up in half. Those guys that do have kids and goes, you know, families and guys that don't. And those guys that don't are going to play video games. And we always laughed. As I got older, we became a younger team. Mm. So early morning practices weren't as easy. So we actually had to back up our timing because all the guys were staying up late playing video games. You know, and we've got kids getting up. So we're ready to get out and get, you know, get things done. But at the end of the day, I mean, you're still putting in, you know, 10 to 14 hour day, depending on what day of the week it is. So guys are ready to go.
So, I mean, let's just talk about Caleb Williams. This is a guy that didn't have a great year. He's certainly going to come in with, you know, if he's the number one overall pick, wherever he lands, I mean, this is a guy that's going to have things to say, mm-hmm. and he has had things to say when he was at USC. That, you know, you might be able to curtail it for a little bit, but it's going to change as he gets along. Now, you told me something interesting during the break, and I'm dying to get your opinion on this. I think Caleb Williams If I were the Chicago Bears, I wouldn't go anywhere near him. I think that's a problem waiting to happen. Number one, I don't think he can play at the NFL level. Two, some of the off-the-field stuff would concern me if I'm taking him first. I don't think Drake May is the answer either. But you said finding franchise quarterbacks is incredibly difficult.
It's not so easy. Everybody talks about this. Think of the carousel that we go on every year of all these guys going to be a top quarterback, franchise this, franchise that. But it's like I said earlier, there's 32 starting jobs for quarterback. There's not 32 actual starters. That, you know, there's a top 10 and they're all in tiers of the actual talent level. And I'm not taking away that 32nd quarterback is a heck of an athlete, but there's a difference of the 32nd rated quarterback to the first rated, the guy who's winning MVP.
Mahomes.
Yeah. And that's the type of what you're leading up to. That's the ceiling of what you're trying to achieve. And these guys that come out, it's not so easy. And the NFL is always about protecting that shield. And it's, you know, it's the face of the organization, it's the face of this. So, people that come out, and it's not that you can't talk, but you have to carry yourself a certain way if you're going to have a long-term career, because there's a lot of guys that are involved in this.
And it's more than being the face of your franchise, being the franchise quarterback. There's more than just playing football.
Exactly.
I mean, you're doing a lot of different things.
There's a lot of responsibilities.
How many guys, Ruskin and I always have this argument, how many guys do you think in the league right now, 32 teams, are legitimate, no question about it, NFL quarterbacks? He thinks somewhere between 15 and 20 guys are legitimate NFL quarterbacks. The rest can probably, they're just honest.
That's probably a really good number. Because you look at what Baker did so great this year, that's also what hurt him the previous years. Yep. You know, Jameis Winston, you could go down the list of a lot of guys that they bounce from team to team. And Fitzpatrick, there's nothing wrong with being a journeyman, but there's a big difference of those guys that are just producing every year, year in and out.
Let me ask you about Baker. That's a dude that was drafted number one overall. He won a playoff game in Cleveland, which they had not done in forever, played hurt. Mm-hmm. And that's what killed him in Cleveland, was that he got hurt and played through it and just was not the same guy.
Some organizations just can't get over themselves. I mean, Detroit finally got close this year. Mm-hmm. You know, they're making the playoffs. There's some organizations, you look at the Steelers, head coaches, they don't fire a guy every 2 years.
No.
You know, you got to have some loyalty. You got to have what it takes to build these teams. It's very rare for what Houston did, the turnaround in the NFL, to have two wins the previous year and then make the playoffs and win a playoff game, the next year. It's very hard to do that. I mean, look at what Bryce Young. I mean, you can see
he
doesn't look like a starting quarterback, but he put up tremendous stats in college.
Yeah. All right, let me ask you this, special teams guy. I have a theory that if Dan Campbell had kicked two field goals, that you take those 6 points, then with a minute, it was coming out of the two-minute warning. They've got the ball in I guess it would be the plus 49. I mean, they're going in. They rip off a chunk play of about 30 yards. They're down inside the 30-yard line. Kick the field goal right there. You need two scores. Mm-hmm. You kick the field goal right there because in the NFL now, since they changed the rules, your chances of recovering an onside kick are 5%. You have three timeouts. Kick the field goal. You still need two scores, but at least you give yourself a chance. You go down, you get three stops, you get the ball back with 40 seconds left. Instead, what they did was they ran a minute off the clock, ate a timeout, and then had to go recover the onside kick. Any kid who plays Madden does that. But for whatever reason, Dan Campbell just – it eluded him.
It did. And you look at, we were talking about Tucker earlier, 1-17 on onside kicks in his career. Mm-hmm. It's nearly impossible to get it. Now guys are starting to even get more creative with it. They changed the rules that you can't line up everybody on one side. You can only have six guys on one side of the ball. And there's a lot of things that go involved with that. So you still have to get the ball back. So you, just like you said, you're not going to get the onside kick. I mean, it's just not going to happen. So what you do is you go down there and you kick the field goal and you have the timeout.
Save the timeout, save the time. Yeah.
Use everything to your advantage.
Yeah, that's Madden rule number one.
Exactly. And most teams have somebody on staff that should be saying that.
Oh, my gosh. I was screaming at my TV.
We always had a statistician guy that literally is talking about numbers. He's a football guy, but it's all about stats and where you're going to go for it, where you're going to go here. And their job is to get in that ear of the head coach. Who's this is what we need to do.
During the break, I'm going to have to show you a video. There's a headset conversation from a college football game talking about what you're talking about. We got to get to the plus 37. We got to get here. We got to get here. 37's our line, that sort of thing. I can't imagine it's complete chaos in the headset. And,
And what a head coach like Dan Campbell and other coaches do this, they're saying, well, what if he misses that kick? Well, then you wouldn't have had a chance anyway.
Yeah, you wouldn't have a chance anyway.
They'd be ridiculed by a bunch of fans that don't understand that concept of time either.
That was, I was just screaming at my TV. I'm like, you need two, and you're burning a minute trying to get down and get the touchdown. You still got to get a field goal and a touchdown.
Sometimes, you know, we get real creative with football. We don't have to make it too tough either.
It's really, really simple.
Yeah.
You carry the ball, you run the
sports
ball.
Sports are sports.
Yeah, exactly. We've been doing this forever.
Yeah.
And you'd think we would have figured this out by now. We're going to talk some basketball coming up. DQ has thoughts, correct?
Yes.
You want to give us a preview on that?
Valentine's Day.
Ugh, that's 2 weeks from now. Oh, wait, I don't have to think about it. Woo!
You're listening to the Ruskin and Zach podcast brought to you by United Roofing and Waterproofing. Here to help with all your residential and commercial roofing needs. Call Joey and his team at 479-312-7369 or check them out online at unitedrw.com. Join the local conversation on the McLarty Daniel Hotline, 866-285-4005. McLarty Daniel, a vehicle for every lifestyle.
Welcome to McLarty Daniel Country.
With six giant locations and over 3,000 vehicles, Northwest Arkansas is McLarty Daniel Country. Stop by one of our showrooms today to shop our full lineup of cars, trucks, and SUVs.
McLarty Daniel is proud to be your premier automotive destination.
Need service? We work on all makes and models 6 days a week. Plus, our full-service collision center can repair anything from a minor ding to a major collision. Have you visited McLarty Daniel Country?
Visit us online at McLartyDaniel.com.
I love you too.
All right. Thank you.
Sorry. No, not you, Derek.
All righty. Everybody ready?
Ready.
We're going to talk some hoops. Matt Jones, former Razorback football player, basketball player, former first round pick of the Jacksonville Jaguars. I got two NFL guys, a Super Bowl champ, and me.
Good company.
One of these things is not like the other. Matt, how you doing, man?
Yo, what's up, fellas? Brett, what's up, dude?
What's going on? How are you?
Man, life's good.
I got two Northside Grizzlies here. I'm surrounded.
That's right.
Surrounded by Grizzlies. Now, you two, Matt, Brett tells me you guys crossed paths. Who was ahead of who?
Yeah, we were teammates there for a little bit there, 1 year at Northside, and then up there at Arkansas. Brett was a heck of a teammate, man. And
says he's a great athlete, but
went on to do big things. Man, every time I saw him, he was with Rojo. Every time I see him, he was out there plotting against somebody.
Trying. You got to.
We got basketball tonight, Matt. 7:30 tip. You and I got the post game for this. I mean, you know better than all of us. Things are a little tough up there right now. But this is one of those games you can get on the road, bunker mentality. This thing, and if you can come out with a win, you know, tomorrow's a little brighter.
Yeah, who knows what's going on up there on the hill. I will say that they seemed against Kentucky. They played cohesive. They played together. They did play better on transition defense. I thought they slowed it down when they had to and tried to work it on offense. It's hard to play defense, and so they tried to. They tried to play a little, and you're limiting their possessions. When you're having trouble scoring, let's limit possessions. That brings you back down analytically. It gives you a chance to win the game.
For me, it comes down to one number, and it's turnovers. They've only had fewer turnovers than one team in conference play, and ironically, that was Florida. A game which they got blown out, but the assist to turnover numbers, it's almost 2-1 against them. Opponents almost 2-1, and Arkansas is about half to one as far as assist to turnover. They're like 67-77. Arkansas's got to take care of the basketball. And I don't know who's going to do that. Is it Ellis? Is it Menifield? Is it somebody else? But to me, that's priority one.
Yeah, it's probably going to end up being by committee. You definitely, it makes you. Makes you appreciate what type of talent you had on the team last year. We got to get back to moving without the ball. One thing this team struggles with is anticipation. We do not anticipate what the next play is. We're not looking ahead. We're kind of sitting back and reacting to what happens instead of making it happen. And so if they can kind of get on the same page, which it seemed like they've been a little inconsistent because they've been not on the same page, but it seemed like they kind of got back on there with Kentucky. And maybe they can get something going.
Hey, Matt, you talk about being on the same page. We've talked about, like, cancers in the locker room. Do you think a lot of that getting on the same page is kind of cleaning up what's going on in the locker room or not?
Brett, that's a good question. You know, you've been in a lot of good locker rooms. You've been in championship locker rooms. And when your best players, when your upperclassmen are your leaders and your guy, and you know who they are when you're in one. And when it's not in a basketball locker room, it only takes one. A football locker room, you know, is 53 people plus practice squad. You kind of have your leaders, and if something's going on, you got your upperclassmen. They'll go up in there and they'll put an end to it. And the basketball thing, it's a little different when you're upperclassmen and you're leaders, and if they're not leading the right way, that's how you go 1-6.
Does it have to be a vocal leader, or is it somebody that can lead by example? I'm trying to think who on that basketball team commands the respect of everybody else, and I don't know if there is one. This may be a situation where you've got to have a guy who leads just simply by example.
Well, you know, there's a couple of different qualities that go into to being a leader. One of them is you have to be a player, first of all. You have to be somebody out there that can make plays. Second, I think you have to be authentic. You have to be yourself. If you're not, they're going to see through that. And if you can do that, then they'll follow. But, yeah, there's a couple of different ways to lead. But I always think, first of all, you know, your guy has to be – he has to be a player. You got to be the first one in there, the last one to leave when you're the player. That's what everybody looks at. I go back to the Kobe Bryant deal when he was at the Olympic team and they were down there and all his teammates were coming in the hotel about 4:30 in the morning and Kobe's going down to go get his shots up. You know, they were all there to play and he was there to work. And that what that does is that they feed off that. You know, when somebody starts doing that, being the leader, and then the other people will follow.
Talking with Matt Jones, former Razorback great. Got Brett Good in here, Super Bowl champion, two Northside Grizzlies, just talking ball here. And we had Joe Pinion in the studio, and we were talking to him about, you know, kind of the concern level. And, you know, I asked Brett earlier about just flipping the switch. You know, you've been in this spot before. Can you get to that point where you're just like, okay, enough. Flip the switch, go play your best game. Or are we going to be kind of on this roller coaster for a while? Not everybody's as talented as both of you. I mean, but you guys played at the highest level. There aren't a lot of pros on that basketball team, and I don't know that you can just flip the switch and say, "Well, we've been here before. We're going to get us out of this."
Yeah, you know, it helps when you're on the same page. It helps when you have a common purpose, a common goal, and you can be together. I think you saw that this last game. And you know, Zach, this is something we've talked about on a couple post-game shows was winning the rebound battle. And we were able to do that in the last game, and we were able to be tough. And I think that some of our strength is not necessarily our backcourt, but our front court. If those guys can rebound and help move the ball, then that gives us a chance. I'm just looking at things that maybe can give us a chance, and that's something that we can take advantage, I think, against Missouri is our bigs inside and should be able to dominate the glass again.
There's a lot of stuff swirling around this team, and a lot of you know, a lot of things on social media. And for people like us that are outside that bubble that they're in, it seems like the biggest deal in the world. But to those, you know, 12 or 13 guys, can they, you know, block out the outside noise, get on the court and put forth their best effort? Because as soon as they're done, I mean, it's going to be back there. But for those, you know, those 40 minutes, can they, you know, basically compartmentalize and go play a basketball game?
Well, Brett, I know this. Coach Houston Nutt used to tell us you have to have a Tiger Woods-like focus. You can't worry about the outside, what they're talking about, what they're doing. The only people that care, the only people that are in it are the people in that locker room. Those are the only people that have faith that they can win. There's a lot of outside noise for whatever reason, if they're jealous or if they're just hateful, you know, they're going to be haters. That's just what they do. I think Kanye West had a song about it. You know, they grow up being haters. And so when you got to really just band together with who's in that locker room, and you got to block it out. And I think it's harder now. I say that not knowing as much, but back 20 years ago, you didn't have necessarily – it wasn't so much social media. It was still you're in a fishbowl, you're in a bubble. But nowadays, man, you can go in at halftime. You can live stream. You can do all – it's so instant.
Watch
right
the Polar Express.
Watch the Polar Express. Yeah. Good movie. Not.
Yeah,
about way to be focused.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, honestly, I mean, there's so many more distractions that the players can get. And it's got to drive the coaches batty because, you know, a guy like Houston Nutt was a control freak. He wanted to control every single part of every single play and every single practice, and you don't have as much control over the players as you used to.
Well, you know, Matt's talking about, even though with Coach Nutt there, I didn't create a Facebook account until 2005. You know, so it wasn't – and you created it, and it wasn't really a thing. It wasn't something we're trying to communicate. Mm-hmm. Now they have all these different platforms. So it is hard, you know, with all the social media that's out there because, one, we don't know what they're going through, but, two, you're getting constant threats and other things that are happening on it.
A lot of fake news out there on the social media.
Yeah. A whole bunch of it. All right, so I know the answer to this question, but I'm going to ask both of you. Matt, you were there, I think. What's the best Houston Nutt speech you got before a game? One you remember?
you know what's funny is my very freshman year, you go in there and you know you're sitting in there. It's Clark Moore. It's Darius Howard. It's Sean Andrews. It's Ahmad Carroll. It's Jeb Huckabee. It's James Johnson. You know all the people. I won't list everybody, but it's all you get in there and he starts going. And it's so infectious. It's so enthusiastic. We haven't even seen a playbook yet. And I remember looking. I was like, "Let's go. Let's go play now." Talking to Clark, I was like, "Let's go. Let's win. When's the first game?" He just had that way about him.
Well, what about you?
Same thing. I mean, the way he communicated to me. I mean, obviously being a snapper, walk-on guy, you know, you're not getting a whole lot. But there was always little things like that you're like, you still literally want to run through a wall for the man. And he was constantly infectious with his personality and how upbeat he was, that you wanted to do everything you could for him.
Yeah. And now, Zach Clark told me that the best speech he was ever a part of was the Cotton Bowl down in, you guys played Oklahoma. Mm-hmm. And he said the speech, I think, if I'm not mistaken, I think it's on YouTube, but he said, you know, as you're walking out of the tunnel, I mean, hair's standing up. I mean, you're just ready. You're ready to run through a wall for the guy.
Well, and that's one thing you hope with, as far as when people are healthy scratches, somebody like Devo, you hope that psychologically, mentally, spiritually, that he's fine. Because what Coach Nutt was doing right there is stressing that these are the best basketball days of your life. These are the best football days. It's a young man's game. So take pride in it. You're one of the best athletes there are in the world. You're up there having fun, and go out there and showcase your talents. I think that's what he was trying to get through, because this is your opportunity. This is your moment in time to be young and to play this game, and then those days will be behind you.
Now, you guys ever have one of those days where you're just sitting around and you're like, man, I could do this. Give me one more play.
One more play?
Just one?
Well, maybe a couple. But, you know, you look and see some of these guys. One thing that I hated in the NFL whenever we switched to HD, like even on the cameras, mm-hmm. because then the opponents could start seeing little things that you did that you got away with. You know, we used to move the ball a lot, and and you get in trouble for that now. And I had referees come up, so I didn't like the move to HD film.
Matt, you ever like – well, first of all, who won today?
That's Liverpool crushed it. It's Klopp's victory tour because, you know, he's been there. Chelsea, though, Chelsea, they both got American ownership. That's pretty cool. So, yeah,
Matt was watching a Liverpool-Chelsea today. I'm a Tottenham guy, so, you know, if everybody sprained
their
MCL,
Tottenham won.
Fine. Okay, all right, we'll take that.
Tottenham's back to fourth place in the Champions League. I love your coach right now.
Yeah.
I like Sung Hoon Min.
Yeah.
Dude's
Sonny's
a baller.
Sonny's awesome. Sonny's mm-hmm. a lot of fun. Are you a Premier League guy?
I used to play FIFA.
Look, there is
– There we go.
Matt, you know, Matt, have you ever been to a Premier League game?
I've been to a Champions League final. Okay.
Really? When?
When Barcelona played Juventus. So Andrea Pirlo is my favorite player ever, the maestro. And they had Paul Pogba, Carlos Tevez. Yep. Barcelona has Suarez, Neymar, and Messi was their front three.
That's pretty good.
It was a pretty good group.
I saw Chelsea play Tottenham at Stamford Bridge in 2007. No. I don't care what stadium you play in the NFL, in college football, whatever. Nothing, and I do mean
it's different,
nothing.
Isn't it? It's
nothing
different.
Compares to people having flares in the stands and the stands literally shaking and singing and chanting throughout the whole game. It's one of the most unbelievable experiences you'll ever go through.
It looks like a lot of fun.
Yeah, it is
because it.
It and anytime you have an opportunity for a sports riot, I mean, you know, it adds
the hooligans.
A little bit. Yeah,
the hooligans over there.
Now, I wouldn't go to like a German League One match. Absolutely not. The British are, you know, still pretty dignified. The Germans, they're rough.
Yeah, just drink, though.
Yeah. I got a little German.
Blend in.
I got a little German heritage. We might get through that. We're talking to Matt Jones, Brett Good, talking some Arkansas basketball and some other stuff. Matt, I mean, take us through this. I mean, we got a third of the season's gone. Muss is known for his Februarys. I mean, they need a big one simply to get into any conversation about postseason.
Yeah, it starts with one. It'd be good to get a road victory. If you can win tonight – you kind of just gets the taste in your mouth back. You're feeling good. You just had a three-game losing streak. So if you can get it tonight, I think there's a real chance you go into Baton Rouge 11 o'clock in the morning on a Saturday. Man, you get up 2 hours, get up 2 hours extra early before you're supposed to get up, get your body clock going, and jump out on them. Maybe, you know, you jump out on them early in that first half, and you can maybe run away and hide. And then you get a Georgia team at home, which I think – we match up with okay with Georgia. I think we should be better than that first go around. We know what they're going to do. And usually when teams win, they kind of stick to the same game plan. They're not going to change too much up. So you kind of know who they are. But it starts with one, Zach. It's real important just to kind of get the bleeding stopped and get the motion going back
good,
the right way.
Yeah, some good feelings. I mean, it's pretty much what you want. Matt, we've got questions for you, both of you, here on the McLarty Daniel Hotline. Did either of you get tired? This is a Russell and Mountain Home. Did either of you ever get tired of being recognized out in public? Brett, I mean, Green Bay had to have been hell. For you, you go to the grocery store, people mob you.
It was tough when you wanted to, like, kick back and just relax. That was the hardest part about Green Bay, is being able to go somewhere where you could just be yourself and somebody wasn't trying to come by and take a photo.
Yeah, that Matt?
Yes, because kind of like that, you know, being 6'6", every time you walk in somewhere – it's kind of, but no, for the most part, man, it's all friendly fire and stuff, but I'm a homebody anyways. I'd rather be at the house, be with whoever the couple people is you're hanging out with.
Now, I you know, probably know the answer to this question, but your first love is basketball, correct?
Yes, sir.
Yeah, absolutely love basketball. I was talking to JP last night about you, and they want you to go up and run with the guys when you get a second, but I mean, the sport of basketball is one of those rhythm sports. You know, football, you're relying on 10 other guys. In basketball, one guy can make a massive difference in an outcome tonight. Is there anybody on Arkansas's team outside of maybe Tremont Mark? Because I think he's probably the best player you have. But who do we need to step up this tonight just to simply get a win? This seems like, under Eric Musselman, this seems like a very bizarre conversation to be having about simply getting a win. But somebody has got to become that, you know, the Robin to his Batman.
You know, that's a good point. I like basketball that you get to play both sides of the ball, offense and defense, and everybody gets a motion. Everybody gets chances to be the quarterbacks. Everybody gets chances to be the receiver. You're doing different things, but you're doing it together. To answer your question, I think Battle could be that guy. I think he looks like he's due for a breakout. I've actually liked his game on the defensive end against Kentucky, one of his better performances where I think he's struggled, but he's gotten better at that. And if he's going to play better defense, then he's definitely going to get to play more offense. The thing is, we got to take some of the pressure off Mark. That's where we miss Devo. We had Devo guarding the team's best player. When Mark has to guard the team's best player and then has to score 28, that's tough. You saw him cramping up in the last game. It's tough to continue that. So I look for Battle. I think Battle could be that guy that could have a big game. I look for either Graham or Mitchell. One of those guys, I believe, can have a double-double tonight.
My buddy Josh from Texarkana just texted me. He said, "You were his favorite player growing up." I don't like when people do that because it makes us feel old. You know, Josh is a little bit younger than us, but you were his favorite player growing up. I mean, you go around the state. I mean, this stuff happens to you all the time. Brett, you're my favorite long snapper.
Hey, no, I get it. I saw him play basketball at high school and in Arkansas. I mean, I get it.
You know, it's fun to hear all the stories and people. They'll tell you where they were when the game against LSU, or they'll tell you where they were against Kentucky. My favorite player my first player, Zach, and Brett, was Madre Hill. My first guy with the Razorbacks that I was like, uh-oh. And Madre Hill was a stud.
Madre is one of the nicest people you'll ever meet. I mean, really just a genuinely good dude. But, man, if not for the injuries – he would have been something. I mean, he was a very good college running back, but, I mean, career probably cut short by those knee injuries. I was there the day he scored 6 touchdowns against South Carolina.
That was my first game.
Still see him running. I mean, that's one of the things. Here, hand it to 34, let him go.
Seeing talent like that's special. And, you know, that's one thing that a lot of people don't take for granted is the social media back then. You couldn't see those guys.
No.
You didn't have instant access, so you had to just catch them once a week. But we had a lot of guys in that team that were talented.
Yeah, lots and lots of guys. Talking to Matt Jones, Brett Good, talking about the basketball game tonight, some football. And, you know, Matt, we're getting towards spring practice. Now, I know you two probably dread spring practice, but for those of us that consume the sport, you know, it's about to kick off again, and we'll get this thing going.
Oh, you know what? This is I'm probably looking forward to this spring ball than I have since I played back there for the Hogs. You got a new coordinator coming in. You're going to have a new offense. You're going to have a new feel. I mean, it was just it was really pedestrian last year on offense. It was it was hard to watch at times. Didn't have anything to go to. One thing that you're going to do on offense with the Bobby Petrino team is you're going to have two or three plays that you know you can run when you have to. Very, very excited just because I think we're going to be better on offense this year.
Yeah, and you know, the quarterbacks, you know, Green is one of those guys. I don't know if you've had a chance to watch him, but, I mean, he's probably a lot more athletic, and I it sounds crazy to say this, but he's probably more athletic than KJ was. The accuracy, the arm, that's going to be something that that obviously they're going to have to coach out of it, but I mean, he's a dude that, you know, probably resembles you in a way where he can get away from pressure, run, and make those off-script plays, which, you know, are impossible to defend.
Yeah, I've seen only a couple highlights, but he's a big, strong kid. You want to see the growth of Satania. I liked what we saw out of that freshman running back, the little bit we got to see out of him. You hope the development of our offensive line continues. You hope that we hit on a couple places in our portal. That's the other thing nowadays is the team's going to just look so different. You know, the turnover each year, it's still taking me a little bit to get used to.
You know, we very rarely get guys in season to talk about their experiences with teams. You know, when we had Pinion in here the other day, I mean, both of you know, what's it like to be an Arkansas kid playing at that school with the microscope on you 24/7. I mean, you guys played 20 years ago. I mean, the spotlight was bright, but for a guy like Joe Pinion, who's a, you know, he's a Morrilton Devil Dog. I mean, he grew up in the state. He knows all about this. It's got to be just, it's something that most of us can't comprehend.
I know for me, I was a walk-on, so, you know, I didn't get noticed until you get
But once you hit the field, people know who you are.
100%.
And you go to class, people know who you are.
They start seeing you. They know what's going on. I can only imagine, you know, for a guy like Matt that grows up as, you know, as a superstar. I mean, you are, and everybody sees you from high school on, and they see you and they want to see you succeed. And also they want to see you make Arkansas succeed.
Yeah. Matt.
Yeah. I'm with you, man. I think we should put up a fence. That's one thing Coach Nutt did so good was get your in-state talents. I look at the basketball talent that's came out of this state in the last 10 years. I mean, we're bountiful. It's littered with guys in the NBA, with people born in the state of Arkansas or people that went to the University of Arkansas. So I hope that they continue to do that. And there is something about playing for your state. You know, the people have state pride. And you see that with an offensive lineman that went back to Iowa. He went back to his home state. You know, some of these people, it's based on relationships. There's a couple different ways you have about picking your college, but you grow up in the seventh grade, eighth grade, you remember watching guys like Madre Hill and J.J. Metters and Anthony Lucas, and that's what you're talking about. Then you have these kids go to different schools. You know what? Now they're talking about those schools. So you need to keep it. I think you really should try to keep it in state as much as you can.
I love having you guys on because, Matt, we have you every so often we get you on our show, and I love it because people just start texting in, and they've got the most bizarre questions, but they love you guys. Got one for Brett. This is Bob in Greenland. Brett, did you get to keep any of the sideline hats and jackets?
Yes, got the hats, not the jackets. The jackets turn over, but everybody got all the sideline hats and the beanies and toboggans.
JD said he follows the NFL. You're the only long snapper he can name.
Nice.
Yeah. That's good. JD's from Fort Smith. He's from right down the road.
Appreciate it.
Yeah,
Thank you.
I love it when people just send in the most random texts because, I mean, you guys have to answer these questions all the time. What? But for us, for the rest of us, it just kind of gives us a peek into what your world was like.
And it's truly, like I say, is like you still don't get noticed a whole lot. You know, my agent always used to say the good press is in the off season, not during the season, because you just don't, you want to go unnoticed. And that's the way it is.
Yeah, it's absolutely a trip. But all right, boys, what's the deal with your Northside Grizzlies? I'm going to see them in a couple of days here, Matt. We got to travel down there. Actually, I'm coming down to see you next week, so I'll see you when Springdale travels down to Northside.
Sweet. Yeah, I don't know if Johnny Mason's still the coach there. I know Ricky Smith's still the girls' coach. My sisters played there for Ricky Smith. The thing I remember about my mom was a teacher there at Northside. Brett knows this, man. There's talent. There's athletes walking through that hall. So you just got to get them and coach them up. But there's always talent in Northside.
Matt, I have no idea if this is true or not. The BE is texting. He wants to know if you really raced a horse.
Oh, that was Chad Johnson, I think. Ocho Cinco.
All right. I didn't know if you you got down to Oakland, got to run, 50 against a horse. Could you beat a horse if I gave you a 50-yard head start? Not today.
Oh my goodness, Smarty Jones, right?
There
he goes. I think there's some lineage right there. He was racing for me. Yeah.
All right, Matt. I will talk to you in a couple hours. You and I have the post game tonight, so we'll connect later tonight. And appreciate you hopping on with us, bud.
Fellas, dude, this was fun. Brett, good catching up with you, man. And hopefully, Zach, we're talking after a Razorback victory tonight.
Boy, we need one, right?
Yeah. Good catching up with you too, buddy.
All right, buddy. Be good. We'll talk to you soon. Matt Jones, Razorback legend, joining us.
This podcast has been presented by Bet Online.
Thank you for listening to Believe. You can show support to your host by subscribing to the show and giving us a 5-star rating on your preferred platform. Check us out at Believe.com and search for BLEAV on YouTube.